This morning I'd like to focus on the writings of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 13, more specifically verse 11. My word shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God speaks lovingly and truthfully to his people. And in Isaiah 55, he desires that they come to him and be restored back into his grace and favor. He longs to bestow his righteous blessings upon his people, Israel. He invites them to come and partake of his promised salvation. And the Lord offers all those who are weary, heavy laden, hungry, and in need of refreshment to come to him and drink of his gracious provision at no cost and without money. Furthermore, in this chapter, the Lord urges his people to listen diligently to his voice, for his word will not return to him void of fulfillment. He calls them to come freely to the great table of blessing he prepared for them. He urges them to come and drink from the cup brimming with heavenly favor. He wants them to eat of the good things that he has prepared and to let their souls delight in the abundance of his grace. If only they would heed his voice and listen to his word, they would have all they needed for life and godliness. Despite breaking their covenant with the Lord, abandoning the God who had been with them throughout their entire history, and seeking after gods, small g, of human making, the Lord was still ready and willing to save his people from their sins. He is slow to anger and desires to restore them the joy of their salvation. But they must listen to his voice, hear his word, partake of the good, and delight their soul in the abundance of his blessing. Is that not logical? Is it wrong for Almighty God to grant perfect forgiveness and not expect his people to renounce evil and embrace the good gifts of God? Servants like Moses and Joshua, prophets like Isaiah, called the nation to repent of their sins and live godly lives, and with many promises of restoration and blessing on the one hand, and warnings of discipline if they refuse on the other hand. All who are thirsty are urged to come to the waters of life and drink freely from the wine of God's joy and the enriched milk of his word. Unfortunately, Israel wanted to live in two worlds that were in complete opposition to each other. Can you imagine being offered water from the springs of the earth, widely accepted as the purest on the earth, and rejected it because you acquired a taste for swamp water? As a nation, Israel were to seek the Lord while he may be found. They were to hear his word and take it to heart, for his promise would never fail. Never. They were to call upon him when he was near. Wicked men were instructed to abandon their evil ways and listen to his voice. They were called to cleanse their thoughts and return to the Lord. They were to repent of their sin so he may have compassion on them and freely forgive them. And My friends, this is no less true of Israel as it is for us. Like us, the people of Israel were instructed to trust in the Lord with all their heart, lean not on their own understanding. They were to hear what he had to tell them, for his thoughts were above their thoughts. His ways were different than our ways, for he is God, and we are not. He is the omniscient, all-knowing Lord of all, who knows everything from the beginning to the very end. He has scheduled every day of our lives and wants us to trust his word as we live out our days. You've noticed, I'm sure, that human perspective is very limited. And so how foolish, therefore, to ignore God's instruction. How unwise to disobey his word of truth and offer of blessings. How prideful to follow our own imperfect imaginations instead of relying on his wisdom. And sadly, this is how Israel acted through much of her historic journey. God said, "So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty." That was both a warning and a blessing. "My word," he said, "shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Well, the word came. And then the word came in the flesh. John tells us that Jesus is the word who became flesh. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, was with God, and the word was God," John said. So those who heed God's word will discover all his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And all who listen to his voice will be blessed beyond imagination. "For eye has not seen nor ear heard the wonderful things God has prepared for those who love him." His word is true and absolutely dependable. Peter reminds us in his second letter, "We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Every promise God made to his people and every word that was written in Scripture is true and will certainly come to pass at the appointed time and in the appointed way. "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty." God is God's promise to the church as well as to his people Israel. Therefore, we should listen. All that God has purposed will come to pass. The word of God is not void. His truth is never invalid. His promises are never empty. That is the wonderful news for those who hear and believe. Because, as you know, it is not our unrighteousness that disqualifies us from receiving his gracious promises, but it is simply our rejection of this wonderful gift of grace. This word. And what this means is that every warning that God has given to the ungodly, to those who snub their noses in disrespect at his word, ignore his warnings and rejoice in wickedness, his warnings will also be fulfilled. His word of truth will certainly be accomplished in the lives of all who rebel against him and resist the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Isaiah chapter 5, he puts it this way. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. God's word will not return void. His word will accomplish all that he has purposed, both blessings and curses. A day is coming when this age of grace in which we now live will be fully accomplished, and the day of God's wrath will be poured out on a God-hating, Christ-rejecting, rebellious world. God's word to his people, Israel, is true and will never fail to succeed in fulfilling that for which it was sent, just as his promises to the church will never be broken. But also his promise of wrath and judgment toward the ungodly will also come to pass. Now, some people will say to me that God's wrath and judgment seem to be inconsistent with a God who purports to be a God of all-encompassing love. Now, if there's anything that we should learn from our experience in this world, it should be that good and evil cannot coexist in heaven. Note the revelation of St. John, chapter 21, how John sets beside each other the truth of God's promise of blessing and curse. These words we really need to hear well. And he who was seated at the throne said, that's Christ, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, that is to John, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Harsh words. Words to be heeded. Now the choice of God's blessing or curses is simply an invitation to believe, or a warning against unbelief. It is a gracious invitation to the world to consider their ways. It is a godly summons to the lost to come to him, to trust in his salvation. For in 2 Peter he writes, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." These are the life-changing words from the Lord. "So it shall be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." This should be a huge wake-up call for Christians to mend their ways, and for sinners to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That is Jesus. Please remember that all that is written in Scripture will be fulfilled. Salvation will come to those who live repentant lives and trust in the Lord for complete redemption. No matter how far we've drifted from him and how unrighteous our actions, because God has offered again and again his free gift of grace. But you say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." We can all identify with the Apostle Paul, who said, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do, I keep doing. Who shall save me from this body of death? He asks, and then answers, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only did God send his Son, the Word become flesh, to live, to suffer, and to die for our sins, but he has also given us his Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. And this is so important for us to understand. It is he who effectively transforms us, be it slowly, be it unperceptibly, into the image of his Son. This is God's promise, and you can know it in your heart that what comes from the mouth of God will not return to him empty. Trust in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.